Hey, everybody. Welcome into Redacted on this Monday. I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris. Thanks for joining us.
So glad to have you here. Let us know where you're joining us from around the world. We are live on this Monday. Hope you had a wonderful weekend. Hopefully it's getting a little warmer where you're located, getting a little spring flowers out there and at least getting out of the snow. Although I did see like in Colorado this week,
yes, snow still baseball happening season. In the mountains.
Yeah. So NBA playoffs in full swing and craziness going on right now. So good to see all of you on this Monday. Grover's going crazy for the spring weather. You can hear our dog in the background today. We have got a lot of stories to get to on this Monday. We're going to look at emergency in the Kremlin and why we're learning that Vladimir Putin was rushed to the Kremlin over an emergency amount of information. So what is going on at the Kremlin? Now, what is going on with the move towards potential war with the United States and France inside of Ukraine? We're going to look at that tonight.
Plus, New York State has released their upcoming year's budget. And guess who's going to pay for all the illegal migrants? New York City themselves. There's nothing in the state budget, even though the state is a sanctuary state. We're going to show you how New Yorkers are going to continue to foot this bill because Kathy Hochul is out to lunch.
Yeah. I mean, we knew that this was going to come, though, right? But the fact that there is actually a part of the budget, like you're going to foot the bill for this. And this is happening all across the country, of course, the illegal immigrant invasion, and you're going to be footing the bill. Liberal media also has something they want to tell you. If you, during this election year, want to go out and do your own research, you know, one of the mantras here on our show is, like, we're going to give you the facts, we're going to give you the information, but go and do your own research. Like, take what we're showing you. Go read a book, go read multiple books. But liberal media is saying to do your own research is a bad thing and that you could wind up becoming a conspiracy theorist if you do your own research on topics. So just listen to them. Just listen to CNN. Just listen to the liberal media then you'll
they
be fine.
They told us that during the pandemic. You should not research for yourself. You should just listen to what we say. That's literally the words that they said. If we ever say that, you guys, we're on glue. Someone's done something to us or we're bots because we don't ever require that you agree with us.
There's somebody else in the room.
Yeah.
Right, somebody else in the room at that point.
Someone's like got a gun to our head. Yeah, if we ever say that here on the show, like just listen to us and don't do your own research, you know that something's up. You know that we've been paid for by billionaires or biopharmaceutical complex
right.
or something.
We
or the
see
CIA
everything.
Has gotten to us or something else. So we're going to talk about that.
Also, says here on the rundown, we're going to talk about Google. Oh, are we? Because Google has decided that they don't want to be a place for politics, to which I literally fell out of my chair. So Google is saying now they're not going to do politics. Why? Because there's politics in their office that they don't want to hear. We're going to remind you of all the ways that Google has allowed ideological capture, the ways that Google still plays politics, the ways that if you're watching me on YouTube right now, I still am beholden to political rules because we're on this platform. But yeah, that's nice. You go ahead and say that. Say that you're not a place for politics, and I'm going to make fun of you for it. So all of that is on today's agenda.
That's right. And we're going to be joined by Colonel Douglas McGregor in just moments to talk about this breaking news out of Ukraine and out of Moscow, because I think this is a really fast moving moment right now where the United States House of Representatives passes this $93 billion with huge $60 billion going to Ukraine, another 20 or so billion going to Israel. Senators right now are standing up and saying we can vote against this thing. But why was Vladimir Putin rushed to the Kremlin overnight with some breaking news we're going to get to just here with Colonel McGregor in a moment. But first, I want to tell you about our friends over at Fast Growing Trees sponsoring today's show. Our thanks to them for supporting independent journalism, because right now is the perfect time to plant a tree at your house and you can get 15% off, and you can buy one, get one free for a limited time when you go to fastgrowingtrees.com/redacted. Now, the best part about their website is that you go in and basically based on your zip code and where you're located, it'll even know how much sun you get. It'll know the best types of trees to plant in your yard or in your shrubs. Or if you just want to order some house plants, you don't need to have a yard for it. If you live in an apartment and want something for your balcony or just in your office space or in your bedroom, great to get some additional trees in your house. And our friend Dan Bongino, he just ordered a whole bunch for his room to sleep better at night. So you don't have to get them for your outside in your yard. You can get them for inside your house. It doesn't really matter. But anyway, go to fastgrowingtrees.com/redacted. They'll deliver it right to your front door in perfect condition, nicely boxed, so you're not getting soil all over the trunk of your car. And you get 15% off right now, buy one, get one free for a limited time. Fastgrowingtrees.com/redacted. Well, something big about to happen in Russia. Russian President Vladimir Putin was rushed to the Kremlin late last night for an emergency meeting of some kind, according to our next guest. So did that emergency meeting have anything to do with this? Reports this morning circling that Russian forces are aware of the 101st Airborne Division from the United States side and French troops now openly operating in Odessa. This is a separate report that U.S. Congress effectively declaring war on Saturday night with their big vote in the House of Representatives. So we got a couple of pieces that we want to bring in Colonel Douglas McGregor to get his analysis on. Colonel, your reporting on this is that, first of all, on the Putin piece, you can confirm that he was rushed to the Kremlin late last night. Can you tell us more about that? And then we'll talk about the troops piece.
No, I wish that I could. I mean, I've been able to confirm through multiple sources that he was rushed to the Kremlin in the middle of the night or early in the morning last night. Why, I have no idea. It was linked, obviously, to this report of U.S. and French troops in Odessa. However, Russians on the ground in Odessa have reported categorically that they have not seen any French or U.S. troops in the city or outside of the city.
Now, if this is 101st Airborne Division, we know the best of the best. Would you see them walking down the street? Or would they be invisible, and that's why this report is credible? I mean, on the troop side, we don't know, and maybe we're conflating the two things. We don't know if they're related at all, right?
Well, the French forces are, you know, whatever they are, they're probably foreign legion. They may have some mobile armored elements, but they are largely infantry. The same thing would be true for the 101st Air Mobile. We call it the Airborne Division because of World War II, but it's really a helicopter-borne infantry. They haven't left Romania, as far as we can tell. So, you know, I think that report is false. Now, does that mean that they're not going to do so, or it's not under consideration? We have Biden's promise that there will be no U.S. boots on the ground in Ukraine. But we know we've had lots of U.S. military and intelligence personnel on the ground. They simply haven't been organized into units. If we were to do this and the French were to do so with us, we would end up at war with Russia. So it's an absurdly ridiculous idea. And one wonders what they're trying to accomplish by going into the port city of Odessa. You know, the port's easily blocked, easily mined from the sea approach. And then you're sitting ostensibly on Russia's doorstep. It can move forward and position all of its rocket artillery and tube artillery to utterly pulverize and flatten any of the areas where we might decide to establish ourselves. It's a very dumb idea, Clayton. It's incomprehensible to me that anybody would be that stupid, but I've been wrong a lot lately on that topic.
I guess a lot of your analysis in the world doesn't account for stupid. Maybe we need to have a stupid index to look at this. You know, going through Russian media, I can't find any information at all about Putin having been rushed to the Kremlin. So this is interesting. The Rush, you know, if this was some sort of emergency on the Russian side, that you might see it all over Russian media. It seems like it's been very, very quiet. So something seems to be happening here. We don't know, as you said, what's going on here to speculate. But do you think that this is tied in any way to this massive new tranche of money, which was passed on Saturday night by the House of Representatives, which, by the way, one of the most disgusting things I think I've ever seen, to see that the House of Representatives, after they passed this massive multi-billion dollar funding package for Ukraine, grab Ukrainian flags and wave them cheering for Ukraine on the floor of the House of Representatives. I was really bothered by that. Personally, not to editorialize, but I really was bothered by that. While, you know, southern border is wide open, tent cities across the United States, crime rampant, and we're celebrating funding Ukraine. Anyway, do you think that this emergency meeting at the Kremlin has anything to do with this massive tranche of money flowing in?
No, I don't think so, because the Russians have learned how our system works. And this money, most of it is a gift to donors and people inside the United States who have an interest in defense. Now, what do I mean by that? Most of the money will never reach Ukraine. It will be used to replenish existing stocks that have now been emptied into Ukrainian hands. It will pay for things that have yet to be produced by assembly lines. So I don't think the Russians are particularly worried about that. I think that this is another demonstration of the loyalty and fealty of many, many members, to most members, frankly, to their donors. They're waving whatever flag the donor tells them to. And, you know, keep in mind, most of these people on the Hill, they don't know anything about Russia. They know nothing about Ukraine or Eastern Europe. These are all domestic politicians that'll do whatever they think it takes to get reelected. There were only 21 members of the House that voted against the massive funding bill for both, over $90 billion for both Ukraine, Israel, and obviously Taiwan. And they did so because they said, until we've closed our borders and addressed our national security needs and restored the rule of law here at home, we're not sending any more money overseas. And of course, that makes infinite sense. But there were only 21. So I think if you can turn to your research staff, if you've got one, and put them to work to find out who's paying each of these individuals that voted for the bill, what, you know, I'm sure they have all been richly rewarded for their support.
That's, yeah, absolutely.
I remember just a few years ago when President Obama was in power, that Senator Tom Cotton crafted a letter arguing essentially for war with Ukraine, or excuse me, war with Iran. In other words, it was one of these letters that said, we need to be more hostile and aggressive towards Iran. Sanctions aren't enough. We need to directly attack them and so forth. He ended up receiving, the day after he circulated that letter, had it signed and brought it to the White House, he ended up receiving $1 million from Bill Kristol's Israeli fund. So I think it's pretty obvious how this works. You say the right things, vote for the right way, and you're going to be wealthy. The problem is it doesn't do us any good. So I think we have a Congress that sort of lives on the Washington version of Epstein Island. It's fantasy world. And they're no longer connected seriously to the people that they were elected to represent. Because I doubt seriously that if you polled the American people, that anybody is rushing to volunteer to fight in Ukraine or the Middle East. I don't see it. And the notion of fighting on Taiwan, that's absurd.
I'll ask our audience who are watching us, you know, tonight here on the show, do you guys think it's appropriate for Americans to go fight in Ukraine and die in Ukraine, go fight in Israel, die in Israel, go fight in Taiwan and die in Taiwan, or, by the way, just to even fund those particular wars? I mean, the polling shows, Colonel, over 70% of Americans say absolutely not. So you have a Congress that is absolutely out of touch with the United, you know, the American people on purpose.
Yes.
This is not something that they're doing blindly. But as the Financial Times reports today, Ukrainians believe $61 billion in U.S. aid won't stop Russia. They know it's not going to stop anything. This is the front page of the Financial Times. So then, as you point out, where's this money going to go? It's going to go to funnel to military-industrial complex. It's going to be stolen, as William Burns, the head of the CIA, warned Zelensky back in January, stop stealing our money. So we know that this is just flushing this money down the toilets. But yes, we see, Colonel, all of these trenches being built. And all of these, like, brand new, it's only, they like went to Home Depot, got all sorts of nice fencing, all new, you know, garden posts and plywood, and they're building all of these massive trenches now, and fortifications. So is that what we're looking at? We're looking at a return to, like, World War I trench warfare for the next couple of years with all this money?
Well, I'm sure that that's what the Ukrainian government, the current one under Zelensky, wants. But there are a couple of problems. First of all, digging trenches is very easy. They have entrenching machines. They're really quite marvelous. And I'm sure if we resurrected the armies of the First World War and showed them these machines, they would be absolutely astounded because, you know, we used to have to dig those ourselves. So these machines are able to cross fields in the space of 30 minutes and dig trenches that will accommodate whatever equipment you want to put in them or whatever soldiers you want to put in them. They can rapidly be reinforced by pouring concrete. So this is easy to do. The problem is, who are the Ukrainian soldiers that will fill these trenches? Or is there an expectation that NATO troops will come and fill these trenches? I don't see the Ukrainian soldiers doing it. I mean, last week, one of the Azov units, this was a battalion strength organization, probably at one time it was brigade strength, much larger, but it probably had 2,000 people plus in it, a reinforced battalion, and they were the so-called neo-Nazi fanatics that were devoted to the regime. The unit refused to fight. Simply said, we're not attacking. We won't do it. We're not prepared to all die in another pointless attack. In other cases, vast numbers of Ukrainian troops have simply said, that's it. We're going to surrender. And the Russians have been broadcasting very effective surrender appeals. And they know from having talked to their comrades that have come back from Russia that were captured years ago, that they were well treated. So they know that the Russians will not abuse them. They will be processed. They will be fed. If they're injured, they will receive medical treatment. And then they will be escorted to a containment facility by the people that captured them. The Russians have handled this extremely well. You know, all these lies about Russian atrocities may have impressed people in the West, but there's never been the evidence for it on the battlefield. And the Ukrainians know that. So I think this war is very definitely at the end. So unless we have a ghost army that's going to be resurrected from the death sentence that they received from Zelensky, I don't see anybody filling those trenches. Now, again, going back to the NATO bit, we have said, and the Germans have said, that we will not send our forces. Now, we've heard Biden say that he wouldn't do a lot of things and then turn around, backtrack, and do them anyway. So it's not impossible that, you know, we could still be that foolish and stupid as to send troops in there. I wouldn't exclude that. But right now, it's basically the Lithuanians, the Poles, the Romanians, I think the French and potentially the British. But again, what do they propose to do if they actually go there? There are 72,000 troops in the British Army. There are 120,000 troops in the French Army. If we sent all of them, they wouldn't make a dent in the Russian forces that are deployed right now in Ukraine that number over 800,000. There's no chance for these forces to have any impact at all. But they could start a major war. And again, this puts us back on track for two major wars that could escalate to the nuclear level, one in Eastern Europe and one in the Middle East. Take your pick. You would think any sane administration would be interested in de-escalating and disengaging as much as possible from that potential. But we haven't seen it.
Yet the Wall Street Journal out with a front page story over the weekend saying the Biden administration has been scrambling. In fact, running, I think was the word they used, running behind the scenes to really calm tensions in the Middle East and really trying to talk the Israelis down from attacking Iran and trying to tamp down the pressure there. Those were the words that were used in the Wall Street Journal. The Biden administration is going out of its way, running to stop the Israelis from going to war with Iran.
Well, I don't doubt that there's a certain amount of panic in the White House behind the scenes because they're not in control. They've surrendered control to Netanyahu in the Middle East. And NATO is essentially a battleship with no one on the bridge and engines that don't power the ship anymore. It's adrift. So on one hand, the NATO alliance is really adrift. I mean, can you imagine stupid comments like the ones coming out of Macron happening under previous presidents? No French president would have committed himself or his nation to fight somewhere as part of the NATO alliance without clearing that through Washington. We're not in control. Biden is not in control. I don't know who's making the decisions behind his back. He's simply being handed things to read. But the point is, in the Middle East, Mr. Netanyahu remains in control, and he's got a real problem. You know, Gaza is a catastrophe. It's failed miserably. They have not won in Gaza. We know that. He wants to go back in and finish up in Rafah. How many men, women, and children that have nothing to do with Hamas will die in that enterprise? It's anybody's guess. And Iran, I think, has demonstrated that if it's attacked by Israel, it has the capacity with pinpoint accuracy to eliminate most of what Israel considers important to its strategic power. So Mr. Netanyahu is in a difficult position. We can't help him. All we can do is tell him to back down. He can't back down. Netanyahu has to escalate or he's finished. So I don't think we've seen the last of the Israeli-Iranian confrontation. I don't think we've seen the last of Rafah. I don't think we've even seen the beginnings of what could happen in the region, because if anything, we're seeing more and more and more solidarity across national lines inside the Muslim world. The Turks, thanks to the last election, signaled their complete disgust with Mr. Erdogan's failure to engage seriously against Israel on behalf of the Palestinians. I think that Mr. Sisi, or General Sisi, is worried about his future, and I know that King Abdullah right now is on very shaky ground, because he was foolish enough to cast his lot with us and help to defend Israeli airspace, incomprehensible to millions of his own subjects who are watching their brothers on the other side be murdered. So the world has turned against Israel. We are increasingly isolated, but we have very little control. We are now, unfortunately, like the man that borrowed very heavily from the bank and at some point borrows so much that he owns the bank. Mr. Netanyahu owns us. What do we do?
It's a great question. I mean, you know, I'll get you out of here on this, Colonel. When you look at what the United States is about to do as we head into this election year, it seems like there's a uniparty, of course, that you've been talking about. We've been covering on this show. They're in solidarity in the United States Congress, and they're passing billions of dollars in packages. They're not securing the southern border. You have a Speaker of the House, a Republican, it seems, by name, who has repeatedly said border, 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 and then completely abandoned the U.S. southern border. So it seems like they are in solidarity with this movement and the support of Netanyahu and in Ukraine. What do you think that Putin is going to do here in the next? You talked about shoring up the ground once the ground becomes solid, lack of snow, rain. What do you think is going to happen in these next few weeks in Ukraine?
I think that the Russian forces will advance at numerous points along the line up to the Dnieper River. They will make a decision then where they want to cross, but I still am firmly convinced that after Kharkov falls into Russian hands, which is going to happen very soon, I think, they will then cross the river and turn south and take Odessa. And there is nothing the Ukrainians can do to stop them. They simply don't have the forces. And they have numerous opportunities to cross that river whenever they like. They've left most of the bridges intact. This was always their plan because they wanted to get to Odessa. Odessa is historically a Russian city. So we'll see. A Russian this morning contacted me through another friend and said that he sees no French or American troops in Odessa. I sincerely hope that that condition does not change. If it does, then I think the Russians will accelerate all of their movements and we will find ourselves at war with Russia. Unnecessarily. For what particular purpose? And again, no one expresses any interest in what's happened to the Ukrainian people. Ukrainians are exhausted. They're tired of this war. They've lost, now we think, 600,000 dead and another million or two wounded. Millions have left. The country is destroyed. It desperately needs peace. We should be thinking of that at this point, not of somehow or another, quote unquote, getting back at Mr. Putin, who's won. Remember, we can't let him win. Right. We've never had any option other than to accept his victory because, again, as we said from the very beginning, Ukraine had no more chance against Russia than Mexico would have against us in the United States. And right now, Odessa is analogous to Tijuana, just over the border from the United States. And you would think that the Russians would concentrate 20 or 30,000 troops there in a bid to threaten us? Of course not. It's absurd. It's nonsensical. We are being foolish and stupid on stilts.
I said I was going to get you out of here a second ago, but I have one more question as it relates to Donald Trump. Of course, you used to work for President Trump. And I was just kind of stunned over the weekend. I thought that, you know, you mentioned 21 Republicans voted against this spending bill to Ukraine. Massive, massive amounts of money. And 21 Republicans said, no, we need to shore up our southern border. We can't do this. President Trump, he's not president, but he could have, as the leader of the Republican Party, come out and said, end this. No more money to Ukraine. This is ridiculous. And as Lindsey Graham said on Sunday's show, This bill would not have passed the House of Representatives with MAGA Mike Johnson had Donald Trump not been supportive of it.
This idea, give up on Ukraine, makes the world safer. If you pull the plug on Ukraine because you don't have enough capability, there goes Taiwan. The Ukrainians are fighting like tigers. This aid package has a loan component to it. This would not have passed without Donald Trump. I want to thank the House Speaker and Akeem Jeffries working together in a bipartisan fashion to give weapons to Ukraine to fight a fight that matters to us. And President Trump has created a loan component to this package that gives us leverage down the road.
What is your assessment? You used to work for President Trump. Could he have, I mean, where do you, did he fail on this or was this a great success? I mean, where would you have advised him to come down on this funding for Ukraine and Israel?
Well, if I were working for him right now and he were president, I would have advised him under no circumstances to support the bill and instead focus our attention on the borders of the United States, restoring the rule of law. And if he went ahead and did what he did, which is essentially align himself with the money pigs in Washington, who are interested in everything other than the American people, I would have to resign. But I think Mr. Wow. Trump wants desperately to be president. And I think he sees becoming president as a vindication, since he truly believes that he won the last election. And to be quite frank with you, I tend to agree with him. That was not a fair and free election by any stretch of the imagination. And we're not about to have one anytime soon because all of the same problems that existed back in 2020 still persist today. But I think he wants to be president. And so he is turning to everyone and anyone who has money willing to support him and will promise to do so, whatever they're asking. This is outrageous. I think it's terrible. I think he's made a bad mistake. And I agree with you. He should have stood with the 21 members because, quite frankly, most of America stands with those 21 members. Now, there were 37 members on the Democrat side who refused to support Israel and the money for Israel. That's another issue. And, of course, it's toxic for all of the candidates. None of them want to be in the corner with the party that says Israel should stop killing people in Gaza. Anyone who suggests that is immediately branded as an enemy of Israel.
Right.
So it's a tough time to run for election. But the good news is Americans can look at what's happening right now and they can find out who's really who.
Right.
You know, who is this man, Donald Trump? What did he do? He encouraged Speaker Johnson to do what he did. He congratulates him on doing a good job. This is catastrophically stupid. He's essentially throwing his principles overboard and his supporters under the bus.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how else to read it. I mean, if you and our viewers right now, if any of you watching right now are just, you know, dyed-in-the-wool Trump supporters, and no matter what presents itself, it doesn't matter to you. But this was a big, I mean, to me, this rises to the level of coming out and supporting all the COVID vaccines that he did a few weeks ago and praising that. I think there was a lot of MAGA Republicans who said, wait a second, did Trump just praise COVID vaccine? Wait, did I hear that right? And now this weekend, supporting Speaker Johnson, supporting all of this money to Ukraine and Israel and Taiwan, I just can't wrap my head around it. So I don't know what to make of it, but I was highly disappointed in this. And I think 70% of Americans said they absolutely don't want this. I think you're right. By supporting those 21 Republicans may have been a better, maybe smarter move. It's weird because in the same week, Colonel, he comes out and says we've spent $7 to $9 trillion on boondoggle wars in the Middle East, where we've killed millions of people. And he said, we've got nothing from it. We have blood on our hands. We've got nothing but blood and misery. We should have never supported those wars. And then 4 days later, I just can't wrap my head around it. I don't know.
Remember, this is the same man who went on the campaign trail in 2016. And wherever he went, he heard millions of Americans chanting, build the wall, build the wall, build the wall. And what happened? He went after Obamacare. So We have to be realistic about this whole business. He's let a lot of people down, I think. I think it will come back to haunt him.
We'll have to see. Well, to hear you say, if you were working for him still in the Pentagon, that you would have submitted your resignation. And those are very strong words. Colonel, great to see you as always. We'll be watching this very closely as this develops, but welcome to your election 2024. Colonel, thanks so much as always. Thanks, Colonel.
Same to you, Clayton. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Colonel.
That was explosive. I learned so much in just those few minutes.
I know.
Wow. Thank you so much for your time, Colonel.
Well, and it's weird to see people justify it. People are like, oh, no, that's just Trump playing the long game. But
I was about to say that. Thank you, because one of our viewers here, go ahead. It was MSW 2015 says Trump is playing the long game here. Go ahead,
but if you look at his past, he supports Israel. He supports all this stuff. He is still part of the swamp, no matter how much you don't want him to be part of it. He is part of it. Like, he's not playing a long game. He supports this.
Yeah. Why didn't he pardon Julian Assange when he had the chance then? Right.
Or Snowden.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I let us know in the comments. I mean, you know, we're being honest here on the show. We're not, you know, we don't have any dog in this hunt, by the way. I think as we've detailed at great length on this show, both of these parties are corrupt. Okay. They are a uniparty. And when you have MAGA Mike Johnson, is what Trump called him, fly down to Mar-a-Lago, stand there side by side with him, fly back, and then tell the American people that forget the border. The main focus right now is Ukraine. Like, the main focus is sending $61 billion to Ukraine. And you can spin it all you want that it's for the military-industrial complex, but it doesn't really matter. It's money not going into American infrastructure right now. Just before the show, my little girl was standing here in our studio, and she was staring at this. She's 11 years old, and she's like...
She goes, that's fake, right?
She's like, that's a fake number, right? And because she doesn't ever see this live like this, and she was like, that's a fake number, right? Like, what's that doing? What's it doing? Like, that's going up, and Natalie, just you explained it to her.
I said, well, that's what my generation is spending, and your generation will have to pay it in your tax dollars. And she was like, make it stop. We didn't do this. We don't agree to this. And I was like, I know. I wish I could.
I'll make sure she realizes that all you need to do is just have her generation print more money. She'll be fine. Just keep the number growing. It never ends.
Well,
it's infinite.
One of the things that Colonel McGregor just pointed out, which really hit me, is when he said, it's not the American people that really care about the Ukrainian people. Now, we showed you last week how the draft is now being re-implemented in Ukraine, and it will drag innocent people to their lives. Sick. Innocent people. And he's absolutely right, because we're done congratulating ourselves on what we're doing for Ukraine, taking in refugees and giving them food and shelter and clothes. So because that's dried up, he's absolutely right. We don't actually care about the people. We only care about the war. At least our leaders do. It doesn't seem the American voters do, but there's no consequence of them doing this incredibly unethical thing. And it's gut-wrenching.
Yeah, a lot of people in our chat said that Trump is bowing to certain people. I don't know. It's hard to say. I mean, and maybe he is playing some sort of a, you know, maybe he's so much of a genius that he's playing some sort of a three-dimensional chess that we just don't see it, that he's going to send all of this money and then get elected and then take it back on a loan program. Like, the idea that we're ever going to get this money back is laughable, right?
It is.
So anyway, this is where the American public is right now. 70% of Americans say absolutely not. Do not send money to Ukraine and Israel to fight these foreign wars, shore up our own borders right now. Housing prices are skyrocketing. Inflation numbers through the roof. The cost of everything in the United States is up 30% right now. Please start to invest money back here at home. We've got more news to get to here on your Monday. We're going to look at the immigrants in New York City.
Yes, we are. And that's another thing that you're going to pay for if you're living in one of the most highest taxed states, highest tax cities in the country, is guess what? New York City residents, you don't get your own schools. You're not going to get the city cleaned up. Don't take the subway unless you want to get syphilis. But you are going to be paying for migrants, and that's on you because the governor has left you high and dry.
So we'll get there in a second. But first, right now, it's earnings season right now. Some economic news. We have some historical statistics. In April is one of the best performing months right now for the stock market, and it's attributed, of course, to New new earnings season, release of updated inflation numbers that we just had, job market statistics, alongside other impactful news that's emerging right now. We're looking at gas prices as well. And earnings season right now is marked with a brimming potential profit opportunities right now in the markets. And you get all of this information when you launch the Moomoo app, which is our favorite trading platform where you can trade stocks, U.S. bonds, ETFs, options, all of it right inside the Moomoo app. And you can get alerts for all of this news and information, tracking the U.S. dollar, tracking gold, silver, mining companies all around the world. And it's free right inside the app. So I have alerts set for all sorts of different things inside of my app. So I get news updates before the market opens, at the start of the day, at the end of the market open, at the end of the market close. And, you know, you got like NVIDIA, for instance, you know, it just passed that $900 mark, nearly doubling in value. And you get to see and track all of those things right inside the app. We're really excited to tell you about our friends and our sponsor over at Moomoo, which is an essential tool for navigating the earnings season right now. One of their standout features right now is its support for fractional shares, allowing you to purchase a fraction of a share. You can invest as little as $5 into high-priced stocks like NVIDIA, for instance, or Tesla. You can unlock investment opportunities that may have seemed out of reach before. So you get those fractional shares, really great. And right now, actually, when you open up your account, you can try it for free today. Just go to our link right there, redacted.inc/moomoo. And if you deposit $100, you'll get up to 7 fractional shares. And you get to receive 3 additional fractional shares in addition to the 7 right now, just by using our link. Plus, you'll get an additional 5.1% APY from their cash sweep program. So if you've got cash sitting there parked, you'll get 5.1% right now inside the account. So give it a shot today and get up to 7 fractional shares by going to redacted.inc/moomoo. We'll have a link in the description below as well, redacted.inc/moomoo.
Well, who will pay for the thousands and thousands of illegal migrants in New York City? The city, New Yorkers, taxpayers, not the state, because Governor Kathy Hochul has left that out of the state budget altogether. So New Yorkers, you're on your own. Here is how this is being presented now. New state budget bites New York City. They're on the hook for migrants and schools. Now, let's take a quick look at how this works. This is how the New York Post laid this out quite brilliantly, and we're going to look at it a little bit more closely in a second. They say, despite the city being a subdivision of self-proclaimed sanctuary state, the legislature abdicated their responsibility on New York's migrant crisis. So the state itself is a sanctuary place, but they're not going to help out. They're saying, that's on you. Yes, we collectively agree that New York should be a sanctuary state, but New York, you're going to have to handle this one on your own. So left on the hook are New York City residents and taxpayers who must bear 100% of the burden of housing and feeding more than 180,000 migrants who have arrived here since 2022. Now, they're projecting that this will cost $12 billion, but they're giving, Albany is only giving the city $2.4 billion, so they will have to pay out of pocket. Now, we've spoken about how there are absolutely rackets in terms of who is getting these feeding contracts because the city was buying meals for these migrants, but they found out that the migrants weren't actually eating the food. They didn't like it, and they weren't able to handle all the various diets that they had. Some of them are vegan. Some of them don't like vegan food. Some of them have, I don't know, diabetes or what have you. They don't like gluten. And so that what they've done now, I refer you to the piece that we did about the credit cards that they're handing out, very high fee credit cards given to the state, given paid for by the city of New York, you know, because they just don't like it. And, you know, you have to wonder, well, the city is able to feed people with diverse diets. They do it in schools and prisons every single day. Why do the migrants get their own choice? They can just order up some Uber Eats. Also, the fact that cash credit cards makes them less safe because then they themselves get robbed by the gangs that are infiltrated migrant centers. But cool, we're not worried about that at all. Here is New York Senator Mario Matera pointing out just how unfair this is to New Yorkers.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just listening to everybody's debates here today, it's been a very, very interesting night. Everybody's tired, but this is just so, so important. $1.4 billion going to the migrant, illegal migrant crisis that our governor and our mayor of New York State created. I had a conversation with the governor. I told her straight to her face at Kings Park High School. I said, Governor, there you are going to cut foundation aid money in this school district, which everybody got their numbers. It's amazing that the numbers that were cut. Foundation aid went away, but guess what happens? Our school districts got cut with monies, $2.4 billion. So our school aid money was cut to go to $2.4 billion. Senator Krueger mentioned also $750 million last year. That number is not correct. It's $1.9 billion. So now, this year and last year, that's $4.3 billion that went to this illegal migrant crisis. All of taxpayers' monies. All New Yorkers need to know what is happening with this budget here today. And everybody needs to know that that's our hard-working money that we put into this state to go to good things, not things for illegal migrants that are coming here. It's not their fault, because we have a governor and we have a mayor of New York that is allowing this. But it's blaming the federal government. That is not the truth, everybody here. It's not the federal government. I want to know who's paying for the airline flight tickets.
Yeah.
Who's paying for the bus tickets?
Preach.
Who's paying for the $400 a night right now with two hotels that are up here, a couple hotels, $400 a night, $1,000 a month credit cards. It's amazing.
Senator Matera,
I know a lot
vote?
Of people with food insecurities that right now that could use that. New York State resident taxpayers.
Okay. Now, Clayton and I, we met in New York City. We did pay taxes as New York State residents for early years of our marriage. And as soon as we moved out of New York, we were like, let's not even step one toe back over state lines because they'll start to tax us again. We were so afraid of being in that high tax area,
yeah.
Right? And this is what you get for it. You wouldn't even want to send your kids to school there because we've shown you videos of a lady whose kids got yanked from school because the city needed that school in order to house the migrants because the tent shelter that they were in was unstable in bad weather. So you're not getting anything for you for your taxes. You're giving it away. Now, again, consider that the average American worker works from January to May to just give that money to their tax bill. And then from June on is what you get to keep. Now, what you pay for from January to May, you're supposed to think, well, I get bridges and roads and schools and fire service and all of that. You don't. You're giving it to other people now. You're not even getting that. Now, here, let's take a look at how this proposed budget is going to work out.
I'm just laughing because it's ridiculous. I think most Americans don't even think that that's true anymore. Like, when they think, well, I pay my taxes, then this is going into my community, this is fixing my streets, this is fixing my roads and bridges, and they see tent cities of illegal immigrants like on their, you know, park benches,
right,
sleeping in their parks and being given free room and board. And just to think, like, for Mother's Day, or no, for Christmas, I got my mom a trip to go up to, she loves Broadway shows, so I got her a trip to go up to Broadway, right, with my sister. And so she went up and I paid for the hotel, you know, and to go up there. And it was a few hundred dollars for the hotel. If she was an illegal immigrant, she would have had free hotels. She would have got free buses.
Yeah.
She would have got a free train ride right into New York City. And
right.
Going to, but no, instead, because you're an American citizen, you have to pay for all of those things.
Right. I've been just doing some bureaucratic work, you know, as an American citizen lately, like trying to file for documents and things like that, just dumb things everyone has to do. And I go to these government websites and I'm like, why at the DMV is there an option here for U.S. citizen and then undocumented migrant? So I just click it to see, like, okay, I need my license renewed, but what if I was undocumented? And who built this into the state's website saying that you can get this, that, or the other? The same with, like, medical insurance. Like, every now government portal has an option for undocumented migrants in order to get all the benefits that I'm going through to pay for. I'm just so curious. Who's doing that? Like, what web designer says, well, you know, the state or the federal infrastructure now needs a portal for anyone undocumented. They get all this stuff for free. But U.S. residents, no, you need two forms of ID. You pay for the renewal of the license, all of that. So who's doing that? And it's costing money, right? That's not going to us. So let's look at the governor of New York. She, you know, had this big press conference. She was super excited to show off her proposed budget for the coming year. Here is vaguely how it works out. It's 43% of the budget for health. And then it lists the other things there that they want to spend on. 20% on education. Okay. You know, again, you're in one of the best, you know, most popular states in the world, and your kids are not even going to get the best education. But, you know, let's sort of dig into that a little, because the governor says that this budget is heavy on security. She's really tired of mom and pop shops shutting down. She's really bullish on retail theft. She doesn't want that to happen anymore. But when you pull down what they are actually proposing to spend on public protection and criminal justice, do you see the number at the bottom of the screen? That is 16.2% less than last year. So how is she going to say that she's making the state of New York safer when she's going to spend less on protection and criminal justice? The governor says, though, she will make the streets safer. This is from her own highlighted page. Here's how she's going to make the streets safer: by new efforts to fight toll evasion on our roads and fare evasion on the subway.
Oh, so thank God.
Yeah. No more skipping your toll.
Hang on, I'll be right back. I got to go wake up Adelaide. I'm sure she's still sleeping, and let her know that we're safe again, because I hate invaders.
Yeah. You know what? It's morning in America. Thank you, Ronald Reagan. Like, you saved us. You really saved us.
How does that make anybody safer? By fighting toll evasion and fare evasions on the subway.
You know, well,
who even wrote that as a bullet point? Like, maybe, oh, I'm so excited about this.
Maybe she read Malcolm Gladwell's book, Tipping Point, and went back to like how Rudy Giuliani was able to like clean up New York City. One of the areas that you fix America, or you fix New York City, is stop toll evaders in the subways, the people that were hopping the subways, and also stop the spray paint. Like, those two things totally turn your city around. Mm-hmm. Stop the spray paint, stop the toll jumpers. And then you have no crime anymore. It's miraculous.
So there will be no illegal immigrants going through the toll thing then?
Apparently not. No, they get a free card just to go right through. I mean, just like their free airline passes.
Separate line.
It's a separate line. Oh, you're illegal? Oh. Yeah. By the way, I did like that guy in the New York State Assembly who kept using the terms illegal immigrants.
Yeah.
Because, as you know, we now know, the Associated Press even changed their style guide. It's, you know, they do not want you using the term illegal.
No, they
immigrant.
Want you to call them undocumented.
Undocumented citizens. They want you to call them migrants. They don't want you to. The term illegal refers to an action, not a person, they say. Right.
Okay.
That's what the Associated Press.
I mean,
Joe
Biden called him illegal in his speech. So.
And he got in trouble for it by Nancy Pelosi. His wife.
You don't want his wife.
I'm just wondering.
Slapped. Didn't get ice cream.
How do you even get through the toll without paying in New York City? They have, are people going through the, that thing? What do you call it? Like
toll?
How do you?
No, I think it's probably just the, don't they have the little, like, the things that just like the automatic reader? Like,
oh, the easy pass? I guess you could fake the easy pass, but then you get a ticket, and I guess people are not paying their tickets.
Not paying their tickets, I guess. Then.
And that's, it's okay to break that law. Okay, I'm just curious. Anyway. I have no desire to fake out of tolls and things like that, but apparently that's a problem, and she's excited enough that she's going to fix it next year. Here's another thing that they're going to do is they're going to fight the rising tide of hate by expanding the number of offenses that can be prosecuted as hate crimes and investing $35 million in the Securing Communities Against Hate grant. Now, again, we've talked about this, that crime doesn't matter what your incentive is. If you commit a crime against somebody, a crime is a crime, right? What they want to do is expand the spectrum of things you cannot say so that they eventually can expand that umbrella to the government so that you can't criticize the government. They're not, it's not somebody's doing hate crimes and getting away with it, because a crime is a crime. This is thought crime that they're after. But she will incentivize the media who says the right things. The state will offer a big tax credit to broadcasters. New York State implements historic tax credits to support local newspaper and broadcast media. I'm sure they won't be biased at all in their coverage of this incentive, right? Especially of the migrant crisis that New York City is pretending is not happening. Here were migrants in New York City just last week protesting work permits that they cannot get and aid programs that they are promised but don't have. It's a little bit fast, but you can see these are lines and lines of people who are waiting to get into a meeting, a city meeting about how to deal with migrants from, I believe, New Guinea is where that population was from. They were African migrants who were promised things like jobs and housing and work permits, and they have not received them. So they were there to protest. So that bill is on you, New York City, already high taxpayers, and it's going to get worse because that's what the city has decided you're paying taxes for. The state won't help you. Neither will the federal government. So work harder to pay for it because the politicians that you voted for signed you up to take this check. This one's on me, they say. So let us know what you think of that. We got more news to get to. We're going to talk about people who do their own research and now how politicians and the media wants to call them extremists. If you read for yourself, don't do that unless you want to be taken to task. Also, Google saying that now, hey, Google's not a place for politics, and that is a lol. And we're going to remind you the way that Google is all too happy to do politics, just not when their feet are held to the fire about Israel. So all of that coming up. But first, we want to tell you about our friends over at Lear Capital, because it's no secret that the Fed just threw its hands up and is saying inflation is here to stay. They're not even going to try and fight it. You see this national debt clock behind us? They don't care. The cost of everything is up 30% across all categories. In other words, the value of the dollar is declining faster than it ever has in the last 40 years. That's why we're a big proponent of buying actual things like gold and silver as part of our wealth preservation and savings. UBS has set a price target of $4,000 per ounce, but silver is a fraction of that cost right now. So if you are interested in learning about investing in metals like gold, then our friends over at Lear will help you start purchasing precious metals or converting part of your IRA or 401k into gold and silver IRA. So call them today at 800-613-3557 or go to LearRedacted.com. And right now, if you buy 1 ounce of gold, Lear Capital is giving away a free ounce of silver, which is incredible. It's literally free silver. You can sell or give away or do whatever you want because it will be yours. There are a lot of gold companies to choose from, and Lear Capital has over 25 years of experience and thousands of five-star reviews. So check them out. Go to LearRedacted.com or call 800-613-3557.
NBA Hype, thank you for your $5 super chat. NBA says, can't we all stop paying taxes? Did you see my interview? If you haven't seen it, it's right here on the channel. Look for it. I think we have it in the Redacted Conversations playlist. Go check it out. With a former IRS agent, a criminal investigator, he used to go out and literally bust people for not paying their taxes until one day he learned that that was all a scam. And he started diving into it, going into the IRS's own library where he worked and found out, Americans are not required by law to pay income taxes, specifically income taxes. And he now has set up successfully. He hasn't paid taxes, I think, in like 30 years. And he has like a team that helps people basically not pay taxes. And it's unbelievable once you dive into it. But I think so many Americans are like, I think we need to deal with this. You know, even Wesley Snipes was acquitted of this. It's crazy. Anyway, watch that interview if you're curious about it. And I'd love to hear your thoughts. Go ahead, Philip.
Yeah, I'm just a little curious. I might just start to stop paying my taxes and just start sending checks directly to Raytheon and Lockheed Martin. And
or illegal migrants.
Fund them directly.
I'll just
start sending my money directly. That way I know where it's going.
Cut out the middleman, right? Well, If we have one rule on this show, it's that we don't know everything, and you should always go out and do your own research. I mean, that's why we have guests on the show on topics that we don't know anything about, or we have a maybe tangential understanding of it. So we bring on experts and we do deep dive interviews with these individuals to learn more about these topics, and then we try to share them with you, and then you can go out and do your own research. Well, the left really doesn't want you to do that. They do not want you to go out and do your own research, because you end up hurting yourself, and you might just end up swimming in fake news. Just leave the research up to the corporate media and shut up and believe what they tell you, and you'll be okay. You'll live a happy life. From climate research, gender research, to election interference and beyond, the corporate media has you totally covered on all of these topics. You don't need to think for yourself at all. No need to do your own research. Like, say, picking up a book or reading a scientific paper yourself and trying to understand the methodology involved in these papers. I've noticed a strange pattern emerging from the corporate media over the past few months, and I've been bookmarking a number of these articles, and I was like, what is going on here? As we head into the 2024 election cycle, I'm seeing more of these stories from the liberal press. The corporate media doesn't want you to think for yourself. Take, for example, the Washington Post. Doing your own research, quote, is a good way to end up being wrong, they write. Doing your own research is a good way to end up being wrong. And they're specifically talking about January 6th right there. That's the implication with that photo, right?
And what's implied then is, but what we've done, the research we've done, is rock solid. So trust us, you can't do it yourself. We're the experts.
Exactly, right. Someone else in our chat says 2 weeks to flatten the curve. Two weeks to flatten. Right, exactly. Here's another one. Why doing your own research may make you believe fake news. That's from Forbes. So Forbes getting in on the liberal action there. Why doing your own research may make you believe fake news.
You're just not smart enough. You're a real dumbass.
Here's Vice News. Scientists explain why doing your own research leads to believing conspiracies. Researchers found that people searching misinformation online risk falling into, quote, data voids that increase belief in conspiracies.
Okay. It's like the government at the end of a Scooby-Doo episode. We'd have gotten away with it if it wasn't for you meddling researchers.
You pesky kids going out there and reading books and learning. Here's an NPR. Here's an NPR interview. How doing your own research can confirm fake news. Now, NPR, of course, we did a big takedown on last week and highlighted their own fake news and research and what they're trying to do with the news and shoving it down your throat. So that's NPR. So in doing my own research, which is not what they wanted me to do, I was able to track down and track back all of these liberal headlines back to a report conducted by the University of Central Florida School of Politics, and the report says, quote, doing your own research biases towards right-wing conspiracy theories, and that's why you should avoid doing research, because your results may be right-wing information.
Oh, like Hunter Biden's laptop, that was right-wing?
Mm-hmm.
No, that was true.
Yeah.
Or vaccination, preventing the spread?
You're getting ahead of me.
That's... Okay.
No. It's only true because you did research. If you wouldn't have done your research like they're telling you not to, that would not have been true.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
See what I'm saying?
So these topics, Kevin Aslett and his research team asked more than 3,000 people in 6 different experiments, there he is, to rate the accuracy of news stories using search engines. Okay. He looks like a happy guy. The results show that using search engines like Google, now this is their results and their research, not me saying this, okay? Using results from search engines like Google to evaluate false news sources led to a 19% greater likelihood of rating false claims as true. So their results found that doing your own research can actually mislead the person trying to verify the information. Again, these are their words, not mine. Quote, we discovered that contrary to conventional wisdom, searching online to evaluate the veracity of misinformation actually increases belief in misinformation, Kevin says. So NPR did an interview with the research author just in time for the anniversary of January 6th, And they wanted to use this as an opportunity to say that what happened on January 6th was falsely reported by Republicans and therefore conspiracy theorists.
Tomorrow marks 3 years since the deadly attack at the U.S. Capitol. Earlier in the show, we heard about a poll finding one-third of Republicans believe the FBI instigated January 6th. Not true, misinformation. Why does fake news travel so well? Well, a new research paper informs that question. When we go online and we do our own research about a questionable claim, the authors find we are more likely to buy bogus info. So let's talk to a co-author. Kevin Aslett is assistant professor at the University of Central Florida. He's in the School of Politics, Security, and International Affairs. Kevin, welcome to Here and Now.
Thanks for having me.
So do your own research. Sounds reasonable enough. I'm thinking of how many times my mom said that to me, right? Go figure it out. But your group did several experiments on this question. And just to be clear, we're talking about search engines. Is that right? People who hear something that might be dodgy and they Google it, that's what we're talking about?
Right, exactly. We're talking about people who decide to fact check news that they are exposed to online.
Yeah.
I hate those people, both of them.
They're just proving themselves wrong, though, because if that were true, what they're saying, then their shows would be getting more views and listens.
Right. Right. We would all be flooding to them as the source of great news and information.
The arbiters of truth. Right.
Exactly.
Right. Also, okay, when we tell you to do your own research, we never mean Google it. Never.
Right.
Right. My mom will say that sometimes to the kids. Right. Like my mom was really trying to tell our kids that you shouldn't stand on a boat without a life jacket because fish could jump and knock you unconscious and then you'll drown. Like, and she's like, Google it. And I was like, Mom, that's not how we do research around here.
Google it.
You don't just Google it.
Flying fish are going to hit you in the head, knock you out like a carp.
When we say do your own research, mostly we mean read a book or something like that. We never mean Google it. But okay, And if you want to send me things about people getting knocked out by fish, please do.
And certainly we mean never, ever use Wikipedia, which is an abomination.
Right.
If you use Wikipedia for research, you should be shot.
Yeah.
That is an absolutely awful website. That's maybe even worse than Google. So in other words, in their research, they've identified through their own fact-checking sources whether or not a story is true or false, and they are passing along these stories to their researchers, the 3,000 individuals of them, and then those researchers will go online to confirm or deny the story. So they gather up some articles. This is what they did. I went through the methodology here. They got a few articles, and they handed them out to those 3,000 researchers. And then they were told, either in the control group or not, either go and research this, use Google, use your search engines, and confirm it and look it up, or don't. And they said that when they were passing along these false stories, these individuals then go online and confirmed what they label as false.
But what do they label as false? Because as we've seen from the NPR whistleblower, they went with a lot of false things during the COVID pandemic and the Hunter Biden laptop story and Russiagate, and they never apologized.
Well, we'll get there in a second.
Okay.
We'll get there in a second.
And this quip about January 6th had no FBI involvement. He's like, it's not.
He goes, that's misinformation.
You lack the curiosity.
Really?
So give us, if you're a real reporter, you might say, well, this is why some people say this, and this is unconfirmed, or we think that, like, no, it's just, you're wrong. Leave that there. Don't pick that up. That's dog poop on the floor. That's condescending and not journalism.
Yeah, exactly.
I just figured something out. The YouTube, whenever they have a claim on our videos, they're using Google to fact check us. That's the problem.
Right.
We need to show them how to do research.
We should tell YouTube, of course, which is owned by Google, you need to stop using Google and you need to use something that has more authoritative sources. Anyway, here's how Kevin explains how they did this methodology. Listen.
And one of your experiments I found fascinating. You asked people to research information by going to search engines. Some of the information was bogus, was misinformation by design. And you found that some of the people who checked out this information were more likely to believe in the fake news?
Yeah, so we ran an experiment where we encouraged one group of individuals to go search online to help them evaluate the veracity of the news that they were viewing. We had another group not be encouraged to search online. And what we found was the group that was encouraged to search online was actually more likely to believe misinformation and rate misinformation as true than the group that was not encouraged to search at all.
So how do you explain why?
So what we found was it appears that exposure to low quality news results in their Google search engine results appear to correlate with this belief in misinformation. So individuals who got bad information in their search engine results were more likely to believe that misinformation.
Bad according to who, right? Low quality websites, low quality sources. That's what their methodology is in their paper. So let me give you a few examples. If this is a little confusing, I went through some of the research here to report so you can see that the articles they labeled, and I dove through this research report and looked at the articles specifically and then cross-referenced them online to see what sources they were coming from. So this is the ones that they've labeled. There's just a few examples I pulled out here just to show you some of the ones that they labeled as false or misleading. Here's this one on your screen. It might be a little hard to read, a little small, but you hear, indictment against head of Burisma reveals Hunter Biden was receiving payments from money raised through criminal means, siphon, laundered from Ukraine. They labeled this false and misleading, right? So these are just a couple of examples here.
That it leans conservative.
Right. Then
because Hunter Biden's dad is the Democratic president.
Exactly.
Otherwise, that's true. That's the only reason that they would label that conservative.
Well, here's a conservative source confirming that this story was true. Here's Bloomberg. It's not a conservative source. Excuse me. Explaining that this was Hunter Biden made millions amid nonstop debauchery. Hunter Biden earned more than $4 million from a Ukrainian energy company, a Chinese private equity firm, and other sources during 2 years in which he descended deeper into substance abuse, according to his proposed plea agreement to federal tax charges. So in his indictment and then his federal plea agreement, this is all in there. And even the New York Times, not exactly a conservative newspaper, read the tax indictment against Hunter Biden. And you can see how much he made, millions of dollars he's made working with foreign companies. So their sources and methods I found fascinating. I just want to show you, this is their sources and methods from their article. Their article selection process that they gave out to these 3,000 individuals. And these are the mainstream liberal news sites that they claim here, okay? These are liberal news sites, mainstream. So these are high quality liberal news sites. The New York Times, CBS News, you can see them all here. These are the mainstream conservative news sites, okay? These are the top of the list for conservative news sites, okay? That's the top. These are credible conservative sources, according to this research. Okay, then we scroll down a little bit further. Here are the low-quality news sites that we sourced from. These are all the conservative ones. Low-quality conservatives. They have the Daily Caller. They have the Daily Wire, which, yeah. Then you've got a lot of other ones in here that I read on a regular basis as well. I mean, the Daily Caller is great. But I also love this. They included the Babylon Bee as one of their news sources, which is a satirical comedy website for give me a break. I mean, come on. Then you have other great ones on here that I read.
Did The Onion make the other one? Sorry.
No. You think The Onion would have made the... No, it didn't. Here's The Gateway Pundit, a great website. With great coverage of January 6th. You have Alex Jones InfoWars. JudicialWatch.org. So these are all considered low quality. Now, there's 43 on that page. It continues. This is still low-quality conservative sources continued. Scrolling down, it goes all the way down to 61 sources, okay? 61 low-quality conservative sites that they use for their research paper, okay? Now, let's see how many low-quality Democrat or liberal sources they have. Let's scroll down, and here we go. Six.
Mm.
61 low-quality conservative sources to six low-quality liberal sources. So you get how this goes.
Must
you understand.
Be nice.
I just want to highlight one more here kind of story. I just thought this was hilarious, where they called this false or misleading. They took what they labeled false or misleading story. They handed it to one of their research participants, and they wanted to see how they would they believe it? Would they go and Google it to learn more information? Mm-hmm. And this is an example here. Back home in Pelosi's San Francisco, homeless drug addicts are now taking dumps in supermarket aisles. First of all, that's not, I mean, it's hilarious, right? So is that true? Well, they labeled it false or misleading. No, turns out it is true. And we have the photos and we have other news sources that confirm, yeah, this is actually happening. People taking dumps in the middle of supermarkets. It's exactly what's happening. And other sources, San Francisco logged 16,000 complaints of pooping on sidewalks in 1 week. And as David loves to point out, there's even an app called, I think it's called Brownout or something like that, right? That shows you all of the poops poop all tracker. Across San Francisco. Poop tracker. Okay. But citizens who live there call it a brownout app. Like they're like, yeah, it's a brownout because all the crap on the streets. So that's misinformation. No, it's truthful. But these are your sources. So don't do your own research, folks. You might wind up as a conspiracy theorist getting accurate information online.
You know what gets me, too, is that it's so condescending because this is coming from journalists, right? These people that want to find something out, and they just accept the narrative that they're handed, whether it's from CNN or their little trusted box. But they're not going down and doing the research themselves to see why would a person be led in a different direction when something doesn't make sense. Like, are they going to those low quality sites and verifying that it's low quality and counter checking it with actual factual information? No, they're just taking what they're told and pretending to be a journalist and then judging other people for not doing the same damn thing.
Right. But it's worse than that. It's also academia because they source this from this one Florida professor who had a biased and flawed research method because he got to decide what was trusted and what was not. So to my mind, those mainstream media sources should have been dinged for their coverage of COVID, for their coverage of the war in Russia, for their coverage of Hunter Biden, for their coverage of January 6th, but they don't get dinged for that. So it's just the professor and his research team deciding that and deciding that they lack curiosity about various topics and are labeling those things false. So it also shows the capture of the liberal capture of academia, which we lament a lot here.
Yeah, you're right about that. Think about they've elevated these mainstream sources and they've like devalued sources, like regardless of what you think about like Alex Jones and whatever, it's like they put InfoWars on the low quality sources for conservative websites, right?
Yeah.
How many stories is that guy broken and covered that like 2 years before then the mainstream media finally comes around and covers the story?
No, and I'll fully admit that, you know, for a while I was like, I'm not going to InfoWars. I'm not going to touch that. That's full of junk. And then there was a couple of times when Clayton was like, you need to look at this. And I will dig for myself, not on Google. I'll read either the academic paper or a surrounding book, or I'll read a different book that actually refers to something that he said years ago. And I'm like, if you follow this trail, there's something here. That's not crazy, but I've been told that it's crazy to even touch my browser to those sites. And so they are influencing you and your perception of yourself for even going to those websites, stigmatized.
Yeah.
So it's working. It's highly effective, right? I don't know how many times, even Dr. Laura, she did this interview with a mom whose child was transitioned at the school without the mom's permission. And the school in California went behind her back to hide it. And she sued them. And I sent it to a friend and I was like, this is pretty crazy. And she's like, girl, I'm not watching Dr. Laura, right? Because it doesn't matter what is being said there, which is important, something that's happening to parents. It matters what your reputation is if you even touch these brands with a 10-foot pole. That's what sort of liberal elitists become worried about. I can't even be seen looking at that stuff. I cannot even click it, right? That's highly effective propaganda that's working on you,
right?
And has worked on me in the past, but no more.
Well, we got more news to get to. Go ahead.
I was just going to say real quick, there are certain channels, like more like really far left-leaning channels. I cannot stand them, but I still watch because I want to know what they're saying. Where are they getting their information? What, like, if you want to do your research, you got to go down both sides and work your way to the middle, is which where you'll usually end up. But you can't get to the middle by just going down one side of information.
Yeah, I mean, I had to listen to a whole bunch of NPR today. I mean, you know, shoot me in the leg. Like I had to listen to that stuff, you know, like to go through. So, yeah, I mean, you have to listen to these things. You have to hear these different viewpoints. You have to read different books from different perspectives on climate, on all of this stuff to know what the arguments are and to shoot a hole, frankly, to do your own research and shoot holes in it. So go out there and do your own research, everyone. That's the point.
But not on Google. Don't just Google stuff. Read a book. All right. We're gonna talk about Google in just a minute here, because I am I'm dying that Google is saying that they are not a political place, only because they don't want to answer for their involvement in surveying Palestinians with the Israeli army. But everything else, they're fine with. It's hilarious. We're going to get to that. But first, we want to tell you about our friends over at Genucel, because Mother's Day is coming up and Genucel's most popular package is 70% off. So take a look, because they are celebrating their 25th anniversary. They're giving you an extra 25% off their already awesome Mother's Day sale prices, making this Mother's Day sale Genucel's biggest sale ever. And right now you can get the best-selling most popular package featuring Gen 90 for immediate results in just minutes and top-selling under-eye bags and puffiness serum for over 70% off. So save big on all Genucel top-selling products for a younger, more youthful-looking you. If you're having trouble with your forehead wrinkles or fine lines, they'll be gone. Skin redness, dark spots, all those pesky bags and puffiness, they'll disappear right before your eyes. And they guarantee you'll see results in less than 12 hours or your money back. So celebrate that special woman in your life. Think about this as a Mother's Day sale, a Mother's Day gift with the world's best skincare at a once-in-a-lifetime price. So for a limited time, get 70% off plus an extra 25% anniversary discount on top selling packages. So right now, head on over to genucel.com/redacted. Get a free spa box with two bonus gifts and free shipping. One more time, that's genucel.com/redacted. Well, Google CEO Sundar Pichai says that Google is not a place for politics. And I literally fell out of my chair this morning at how anyone can say that about Google with a straight face. This is the headline today that caused me to just throw things, lose my mind, ask Clayton. I was screaming in my office, like, how can he say this? Google is politics. They have been playing politics. They were created for politics, which means that he is saying Google is not for politics. He doesn't mean it. What he means is Google is not for the politics that I don't want to hear. So here is those politics that made him say such a stupid thing. Last week, Google fired 28 people for protesting the company's involvement with Israel. And here is a quote from the CEO's statement about it. He says, "This is a business and not a place to act in a way that disrupts coworkers or makes them feel unsafe. To attempt to use the company as a personal platform of fight over disruptive issues or debate politics. This is too important a moment as a company for us to be distracted." Okay, so just keep this in mind, right? I wanna show you this, just hang on. He's saying no disrupting your coworkers, no using Google as your personal platform, no disruption. Okay, but look at this. This is Google in 2018 when they stage an international walkout over how the company handled sexual abuse reports.
Google employees all over the world staged a massive walkout today. They accused the company of mishandling sexual misconduct allegations against executives. Jamie Yukas is outside Google headquarters in California tonight.
Women's rights are workers' rights.
Thousands of Google employees walked out of Google offices from Europe to Asia and throughout the U.S., citing what they call a destructive culture that condones sexual misconduct, discrimination, and racism.
Okay, but he just said no disrupting your coworkers, no making them feel unsafe, no using the company as a personal platform. Also, look at this. In 2020, Google employees protested the company's contract with police departments and sent an open letter to the CEO demanding changes. No one was fired or reprimanded for that. So why can some political movements be expressed at Google on work hours and work premises and others not? Well, the simple answer is because Google practices woke capitalism. That's why when you let people take over business with ideology, everyone loses. So let's take a look at the things that Google just doesn't want to hear and is pretending to be apolitical over. What they don't want to hear is protest against its contracts with Israel, namely Project Nimbus.
Hey, do you know what Project Nimbus is? Project Nimbus is a $1.2 billion contract to provide cloud-based services to IS government and military. It enables surveillance on Pali people. It enables unlawful data collation on Pali people. It helps facilitate settlements on Pali land, which are illegal under international law. Both Google and Amazon are providers for this contract. We can't forget how complicit the tech industry is in this genocide and apartheid.
Okay, but yes, that's not new, because the irony is that big tech is helping Israel target and survey Palestinians, but IBM helped the Germans kill the Jews. So that has been a thing for over a century. And Google will not have their feet held to the fire over this. Now, I want to be clear on where we stand. This is not a piece about Israel, although I absolutely abhor how the Israeli government is using surveillance on the Palestinians and has been for decades. This is not new. This is a piece about the hypocrisy of Google saying that they're not a political place because they just can't answer for this. It's insane, because when you let politics in the workforce, everyone will have to see the hypocrisy of this, because you have to choose winners and losers. The only way to play politics in the workforce is not to. Here's how one employee explained how he had tried to go through other channels and that this protest was what they felt was their only recourse at Google.
You were just hours ago in the jail in the local police precinct. Talk about why you were willing to get arrested.
Well, rather than, you know, consider the demands that we've been raising for, you know, years now, and, you know, listening to workers and considering the things that we've been raising, Thomas Kurian and Google execs basically chose to arrest workers for speaking out against the use of our technology to power the first AI-powered genocide. So we were willing to get arrested for that, because at this point, we aren't willing to be lied to by our higher-ups anymore. We aren't willing to be disrespected by our higher-ups anymore. And we wanted to take that to the offices and make sure it was understood by them. Yeah.
How do you sense is the support that you have among other Google workers, the degree of the dissatisfaction with the policies of Google?
Yeah. I mean, Google has done a really good job at creating a culture of fear and retaliation against workers in general. But what we noticed was beautiful. So many people came up to our sit-in and basically showed support and felt that they were inspired by the work that we were doing and felt inspired to speak out, which is exactly what we were going for. We want workers to feel like we have the power to choose where our technology is going and who we're contributing to. So I felt really happy to see that.
Okay, now whether or not you think that he pushed it too far or not, why would this guy think that his cause would be any different from the walkouts he already observed from the Me Too movement or from the Black Lives Matter movement? Why would he not think that he couldn't do this? I know I'm asking a double negative, but why wouldn't he think that he could do this with his friends and his colleagues?
Well, it sounds... The way that he just described it, like saying the fear of retaliation and stuff, it sounds like it's a cult. It's like he stepped outside of the cult, and that is the fear. You know, like, you don't do that.
You're right. He's in the wrong lane of politics. It's not at all that Google doesn't want politics. They do. It's that he's in the wrong lane of politics. He is not going to be treated like those other protesters for causes that Google wants to be seen speaking for. Right?
Right. Yeah.
Even though they couldn't have a women's rights protest now, like, that would be, you know.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it would have to be a spectrum gendered protest. But we know exactly why he is being treated differently than other causes. It's because of Israel. But let's just remind ourselves of all the politics that Google is always up to. Former State Department cyber expert Michael Benz recently pointed this out on Tucker Carlson's show, that Google was started by the CIA.
Google is a great example of this. Google began as a DARPA grant by Larry Page and Sergey Brin when they were Stanford PhDs. And they got their funding as part of a joint CIA-NSA program to chart how, quote, birds of a feather flock together online through search engine aggregation. And then 1 year later, they launched Google and then became a military contractor quickly. Thereafter, they got Google Maps by purchasing a CIA satellite software, essentially. And the ability to track, to use free speech on the internet as a way to circumvent state control over media over in places like Central Asia or all around the world was seen as a way to be able to do what used to be done out of CIA station houses or out of embassies or consulates in a way that was totally turbocharged. And all of the internet free speech technology was initially created by our national security state. VPNs, virtual private networks to hide your IP address. Tor, the dark web, to be able to buy and sell goods anonymously. End-to-end encrypted chats. All of these things were created initially as DARPA projects or as joint CIA-NSA projects to be able to help intelligence-backed groups to overthrow governments that were causing a problem to the Clinton administration or the Bush administration or the Obama administration. And this plan worked magically from about 1991 until about 2014 when there began to be an about face on internet freedom and its utility.
Okay, so how can we expect Google to answer for its participation with the Israeli government at this point? We absolutely can't, right? That's why they're pretending to be apolitical, but they're not. They are an extension of the government, of basically Western governments. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, let's say they were. Let's say they didn't have a game in 85, but they are a war contractor. So at the end of the day, they still they need war to make money. So whether they're on whatever side of a war, doesn't matter. They are a war contractor.
Yes.
Takes our money and wants war.
Right. Let's look at a few other ways that Google absolutely is political right now. A recent report showed that Google interferes with the elections. By the way, it manipulates search results. By that, I mean that they present biased search results. They disallow or downrank ads from right-leaning candidates and around their platforms and their issues. When Google was sued by Republicans last year who claimed that Gmail suppresses their email campaigns, that suit was dismissed. But the judge did not say that Google doesn't do this. The judge said it was a close case, but that Republicans hadn't succeeded in arguing that Google was doing this in bad faith. In other words, they're doing this. And don't even get me started about the government censorship here on YouTube. It's clearly political. All this to say that Google just, they can't say that they are not a place for politics. That is bad faith argument and bullcrap. And again, I like to highlight the only successful way in recent years that a company has successfully navigated workplace politics is to not do it the way that Coinbase did in 2021 when CEO Brian Armstrong sent an email to employees saying they would be a crypto company and nothing else. They would not tolerate demands for ideology or social change or representation or anything like that. Nothing. No politics at Coinbase, and he offered resignation packages to anyone who couldn't deal with that, and about 60 people took it, and their employees have been quite happy ever since. So do you think that Google will now make the no politics their policy, lol, or are they just saying this to leapfrog answering for their contracts with Israel? What do you think? Will this actually be the thing that makes them apolitical? Who knows? Let me know what you think.
And we have a daily newsletter we would love for you to subscribe to. Sorry, there's like a speed demon sort of like drag racing outside all of a sudden. I don't know if you guys could hear that or not.
I wonder if you heard that. Did you?
I heard it.
It's like Formula One or something outside the studio. Hey, we have our newsletter. We'd love for you to subscribe to it. You can read it in about 5 or 10 minutes over your cup of coffee first thing in the morning. It's the world's best newsletter. We really try to make it informative and enjoyable and keep it short and sweet so you can get your, you know, coffee, grab your tea, whatever. Grab your newsletter, just go to redacted.inc and sign up, and you'll put in your email address. Then you will receive a welcome email from me, Clayton@redacted.inc. So just check that email, and you might go to your spam folder or your junk folder. Google has labeled us as dangerous, so our newsletter has been labeled as dangerous in a lot of people's inboxes. You'll just need to drag it over to your inbox after you confirm that you want to receive the email, and then you'll receive it tomorrow morning. on Tuesday morning. You'll receive the newsletter first thing. We cover the markets, we cover some big stories, and again, you can read it in about 5 minutes. Redacted.inc, not.com, is the place to go to sign up. And that's going to do it for Redacted on this Monday. Thank you guys so much for joining us here on the big show. We'll be back with some big guests.
I was going to say, Justin Timberlake said that the newsletter is the only other thing that he will put in his box.
Oh, I don't know if you know that.
That's so nice of him.
It's the only other thing he will put in there.
Thank you, Justin. That's so nice of Justin to do that. It is. That's why I say it's the best newsletter. Justin will be watching tomorrow and hope all of you guys will be back. 4 p.m. Eastern time is when we do the live show. We'll see you back here tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern time. Everyone, have a great night, everyone.